Camp Life, the program side.
A weekly podcast for summer camp professionals, hosted by Kerr Jackson and Chris Callow.
Now it's time for another entertaining episode exploring the fantastical world of summer camp programming.
Hey, welcome back to Scamp Life, the programming side. I'm Kurt, the awesome one. Over there is Chris, the other one. And today we are in this episode talking about specialty camps.
It's like your podcast. We have the programming side and the other one.
Exactly. We are a manifestation of that. But specialty camps are a big thing for some camps, especially, Parks and Recreation. They have a lot of specialty camps. There are specific tech camps that'll do specialty camps. I think it's a bigger day camp thing.
It is.
Yeah. There's a lot of different day camps that provide options of specialties. We're not talking about, this is a specialty program for a traditional camp. You're just doing it. Somebody kids can sign up for one hour each day. We're talking about the whole week is this. Yeah. All right. We're on the same page then.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is, I say, we're doing that this year. So one of the changes we made this year, we had some specialty camps before, which I'm going to talk about, but we decided, and they were just in other camps. Like you could go to this specialty camp or be a part of the team. And so they were separate, did their own thing, and they were smaller. And so now we combined, so we have six different specialty camps. You choose which one you're going to be a part of for the whole week. And you're doing all that, being a part of that, whatever, like music camp's one of them.
We're going to talk about. And before we get into this, so explain, let's say you've got a cabin of kids. Are each of them in a different specialty? Or are they all the same specialty in that cabin?
This is something we're trying this year. That was one of the complaints we had before was like, I want to go to music camp. My friend doesn't want to. He wants to go to just the normal teen camp. And so this year we said, let's try it this way and see what happens. So we're going to let them, they can house together, but then they're going to be in their different camps throughout the day. So they can still be with their friend. They're going to see their friend at meal times. They're going to see their friend, like we have chapel services. And some of the, like, they'll do some of the fun, the camp activities. When they go and do archery and stuff, they'll see their friend there.
Okay.
But otherwise, when they're in specialty camp time, they won't see their friend. They're going to be just their specialty.
Yeah.
So something we're trying to see. The three we had, the numbers weren't super high. And so we wanted to try this, see if we just focus strictly on specialty camps, what is that going to look like? So I guess this is going to be April that this airs. We need to look and come back in August and see how it did.
Yeah, for sure.
As of right now, I have zero people signed up for any of them.
What are you? These are you that's pretty common too much here. Marketing, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty common here. They wait towards, we won't see a lot of signups till end of April, beginning May.
Yeah, it's not, I learned that it's not until a camp fills up that people will start doing it. They're like, we're not going to get a space if we don't register right when they open.
We had gotten to that point at Camp Good News. That's where we were like, if you weren't signed, it was probably February, maybe in middle of March, and there was no space left.
Yeah.
And so people signed up a lot faster. We're here. We've never had that. They've never had that problem. So eventually we'll get there. We'll see. I know of camps that like they open registration and they are full minutes. I would like to be there. That would be awesome.
Then you just had to deal with all the people that didn't get in. They're like, please let us in.
I mean, I can be bribed.
Right? That's funny because I worked at a day camp. Directed a day camp, that exact situation would happen. So we'd open at midnight. And we did it at midnight so that people were hopefully asleep and and then there'd be a little, parents would stay up until midnight to get their kids in. And so there were certain weeks that would fill up within minutes. And then there were a couple of weeks that it would take, 12, 15 hours for it to fill up. In the meantime, we'd have these wait lists. And I always thought about, I was like, why doesn't anyone try to bribe me? Like, no one ever comes in and says, hey, Kurt, get me in and you get a little something. I was like, because I could be bought off, maybe.
That's
depending on what it is. But no one ever tried. I was surprised.
For the right price, I can be bought.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. All right. So my first one, as far as specialty camp, we have a lot of them. So we're going to go through these pretty quick. Just to give you ideas to look into, we're not doing any deep dives, but we don't usually anyways. Art and Garden Camp. This is something that we used to do, and we teamed up with a garden center that was a place that in the community you can go to, and you could look at the different floral areas and trees and sit there and read a book. But it was very nice garden area that was kept up by volunteers. And they had a building that they let the kids go into to do. We do some art programs. They would help out with the gardening. It was a pretty popular program for a very specific type of kid that was into this. And that's, I think that's the beauty of specialty camps. Is that, yeah, your general camp, they're going to get all the kids. They're going to get all the kids except a lot of these kids that would be specialty. Like, they're like, I'm not into just general camp. I don't want to do any of the sports, the games or anything. I have a special, I really like this. And so we would have maybe 10 kids, 10 to 15 for this camp with one staff member. It was perfect. She ran it. So Art and Garden, great camp that we had.
First on my list is music camp, and this is actually one of the specialty camps we do. Now, we call it, it's really singing camp is really what it is. And so the campers come, they learn, because they're doing a concert. So by the end of the week, they're actually presenting a concert to their parents at pickup. So they're learning how to sing, learning some voice control and stuff like that. They're working on songs and all that, and to put on the whole concert by the end of the week. And so we really like, and we have several that like to sing. This has gone down in years. When this camp first started several years ago, I've seen pictures. It was packed, like 100 plus kids.
Oh, wow. Wow.
It was a very popular specialty camp. And so not as high anymore, but we'll see after this year what changes and what looks like. So
100 kids in the middle of Indiana nowhere. That's a big deal.
I know. Singing.
Singing, right? I worked for a Y camp that had a music camp, but that was an outside group that came in to run it, and it was really popular. And so I always thought if I did a music camp, I would definitely get contract instructors or people to come in, or even volunteers for a week that taught music. But yeah, my next one is entrepreneurship, and that basically teaching kids to own their own business, a little business. A lot of kids are getting into that. We're in the kind of the gig world where parents are even having their own little side gigs, their own little businesses, and kids are getting more and more into it because of social media. They see young people starting their own businesses. And so it's a big deal. And if you have somebody who could come in to teach us, I think a lot of specialty camps, it's contract instructors. You're typical staff are not going to have maybe the skill or the passion to teach these, but you can find experts and bring them in. And I think this is one of them. And entrepreneurship would be a good specialty camp to run.
Definitely. Next on my list, dance camp. Pretty self-explanatory. You'd be putting on a dance or a show of some type at the end of the week for the parents. But I'm tying in with what you said, bringing in people. I think this, having a specialty camp, is a great way to involve your community as well. And getting people in your community to like be a part of the camp as well. That just gives you advertising and marketing that doesn't cost you anything when you get them in there. Yeah.
I like the idea of dance camp because you could, depending on, you could have different options. So the kids come and they're like, hey, I'm going to learn a little hip hop today. And then I'm going to hear a little Bollywood or some ballroom dance. So there's so many different dances that they could try out and get a little instruction on, and or they can just go, I'm going to do hip hop all week. I think it's cool. Yeah.
I think, did you ever see the show Sing, the cartoon?
Yes.
That's what I think of it as, like they're working on their little thing, but then at the end you have this huge variety show.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty good movie.
It was.
I was surprised. My next one is an American Ninja camp. And I've seen this done where a group will come in and be contract instructors and they'll have all the equipment for it and everything. Or you can go, there's a lot of American Ninja or Ninja facilities these days that you could take kids to or work with them to put a camp together. But yeah, it's a big deal.
I like that. Number three for me, photography camp. Mm-hmm. And so going to learn, I know this is big right now with teens. A lot of these teens get these expensive cameras that are really cool, but they don't really know how to use them. And so helping them use those cameras, take pictures, even learning like backgrounds and are you doing people or nature or art or animals and working with all of that.
Back in the day, you had to even develop them.
Film. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's no more of that.
No, but there is. There's a lot of the digital editing.
Yeah.
That could definitely be a part of it.
So the next one for me is International Language and Culture Camp. And basically, you're looking at either doing one specific culture or maybe doing a couple of different ones. And I think that really depends on your surroundings, your area. Is there a big, what do I want to say?
Like a Latino population? Or
yeah. Is there a specific, or even if you're, could be an African, Ukrainian, a Korean population you can do, or that's just on the outskirts of it and people are interested. Actually, like a South Korean one, because everybody's into K-pop, everybody's into K-dramas and that type of thing. There's a lot of great movies coming out of there, but there's a lot of the interest is very high. So if you were to do a South Korean international language and culture camp, that might have some interest. So if you're looking specifically at one culture, depends on what
Squid Games
is South Korean. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, you can have your own Squid Games.
Yeah. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Next on my list is coding and game development. And this would get those kids that aren't camp kids. They could care less about the outdoors. They could care less about sports and things like that. But they're very much into coding and learning how to create games and things like that, computer stuff. I need to go. Kurt and I keep talking about how we need to go and learn Arduino. And so I'm like, camp for Arduino. And I'm even saying that. But I'm like, this is one of those specialty camps that maybe you're looking like some of mine that we have. Our kids could come to really, you know, they go to music camp, but they can also come to regular camp. This is one you're most of your coding, computer development or game development kids probably aren't coming to regular camp. And so your population that you wouldn't see at camp normally.
I think something that I don't see on either of our lists, but esports is just getting bigger and bigger. And if you, like, I don't know too many people are going to be like, I'm going to do an esports camp, because then it's just kids playing video games the whole time. But if you were to add coding and game development into kind of esports, so there's the, oh, we're working,
the game
but then
aspect.
We get to play the game
the
aspect.
Free time
exactly.
Side, yeah.
Exactly. My next one was basically inspired by Chris, is an escape room camp. And to have kids learn the different areas and what it takes to design an escape room and then design one. And by the end of the session, they have one available to play for their parents, their friends, that type of thing.
It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed ours.
Yeah.
Well, we learned, so for those of you that might be thinking of doing something, I brought it up to just a few escape rooms when we went and played. And the owners were like, hey, you let me know what you need. I'd love to come in and help. Or we had one owner. She's like, you guys want to come play for free? You bring your, have a field trip, come play for free. And then she came and taught some stuff and ended up her kids were old enough the next year she wanted to send them. And then I left.
Nice.
A different place.
On our trip, we talked to a couple of escape rooms that did escape room camps. And so, of course, I was very interested. I'm like, what do you do? And then they would tell me about it. And I just shook my head and I was like, that sounds horrible. Like, you're not doing it right, basically, because that's not their business, right? They're not camp directors, people. They're escape room owners. But they would get kids. They say, oh yeah, we get kids all the time. And I'm like, cool. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if you had a good escape room camp, what that would do?
Awesome. Next on my list, I think Kelly might actually do this, but an equestrian camp. So working with the horses and doing all different, taking care of them, feeding them, cleaning up after them, as well as all the riding and the games and activities you can do on horses.
I worked for two overnight camps that had equestrian programs, or they did Western riding, and it was a specialty because that's all they did. They didn't they did a little bit of other stuff, but they signed up specifically, paid extra money to just do the horse camp. And they got their horse for the week. They take care of their horse. They feed, they curry it down, everything. That is what they're there for that week. That's what they're doing. So it's popular. And you can rent the horse. You got to have the facilities, but you rent the horses. You don't need to keep them year round. So that's nice.
Have you ever been to a pet store? And they're we don't just let anyone come in and pet the dogs and take the dogs because it's hard on the animals. They get sad when no one's.
What?
I'm just wondering. So if you have, I don't know anything about horses. I need to ask Kelly. Well, would your horse be sad at the end of the week when you go home like a normal camper? Like, I had my friend all week and now he's gone.
What? Kelly will tell you because Kelly has worked at a animal shelter and people will come in just to play with the dogs and the cats, and they're volunteers just to, but when they're adopted, I don't think they're like, where's Kelly? I think they're like, hey, family. Or I'm still,
Sad at the end of the week.
But maybe they're like, oh, Chris, where's my Chris?
They're not going to be sad that I'm leaving.
No, I don't know. Sometimes I wish I was Dr. Doolittle and I could talk to animals. That'd be pretty good. My next one is chess camp. Very popular to do. Chess camps are everywhere and the kids sign up. We used to have Parks and Recreation in the Bay Area that I worked at. We had contract instructors that come in and did chess camp and they were always sold out, booked up, and their kids would actually compete. Like they would take them to competitions. Oh, yeah. It was an after school program, but they also had their summer camp program that they would feed these kids into. And they had from beginning, I don't know, chess to chess. I don't want to say masters, but really good at chess. And all you need is a room. And chess setups, chess boards is chess pieces.
The little clocks with the buttons on top.
Pretty simple. Not a lot of room needed. But if you get the right instructors, that's a great one to have.
That's another one of those. The chess kids probably aren't likely your normal camp population. So this is to get some extra.
One or two maybe, but for the most part, no.
Definitely. Next on my list is something I always wanted to do at my last camp and was creating a farm camp.
When I read that, I thought it said fam camp. I was like, fam camp, fam.
Bring your family. You guys don't do fam. We should start calling our family camp, fam camp.
What up, fam?
No, farm camp. And having a whole, like, you're taking care of all the animals on the farm. Just, I'm an animal person, so that always appeased me. And then we had several kids like, yeah, you do that. I'll be there. Like, I thought it'd be cool. And I'm going to keep going with my next one after that because it ties in. Zoo camp, very similar. So in our nature center, we had more of the exotic animals and stuff, but it'd be this very similar, taking care of the animals, learning about them. And then even we always said with our zoo camp and our critter camp that we would do, that those campers at part of the specialty camp would then teach the regular, like the normal campers about.
So
they would do the shows as well. And so instead of the nature center director doing the shows, they would have, oh, here's what I learned about the bearded dragon. So I'm going to teach you all about it.
They're like little docents. Cool. Yeah. But you've got to have either like a farm or all these animals. Yeah. So.
There's a lot of camps that have farms that have surprised me because it's something we're looking into here.
Because
I've been researching it. So I didn't think it should go over well here in southeastern Indiana because all the kids live at farms already. Yeah. But it might be because there's quite a bit of camps around here that have it.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. All right, then I will do two. Okay. So my first one is Books to Life. Probably my favorite one. These are your Harry Potter camps, Percy Jackson camp. Anything that's very popular as far as what kids are reading, you can bring a book to life. But Harry Potter is still going strong if you're doing a camp like that. Now, can you get away with the IP part of it? The way we did it was we didn't have necessarily... like the houses. We didn't have the houses of Harry Potter. We changed the names. We didn't have the characters. So it was Wizard Camp is what it was.
Yeah.
And Percy Jackson was Percy Jackson. What can I tell you? But taking these books and the kids that came were into it. Like they were diehard fans of these book series. And your staff And you'll find staff too that are diehards. So they know all the trivia. If the kids try to test them, they're like, oh, this, that, the other thing. But it is so much fun coming up with activities for them. And it will be something that you'll get a lot more kids than other specialty camps for. But again, these were not the kids. The kids that we got weren't going to our traditional camp.
Yeah, no.
They just weren't. So it was really cool to be able to offer something to engage those kids. So they could still be like around people who have the same interests as them. That was exciting. Mm-hmm. Oh, I never met you before, but you like what I like. We're friends now. So that was cool. So Books to Life.
With the new Harry Potter and the new Percy Jackson series coming out, they're going to be, I say this would be huge again, because the kids, there's still quite a few kids, I think, that would do Harry Potter camp even today. But for the most part, most of them have grown up. They're a little bit older. But
you would think that, except so I think I went through 5 years of Harry Potter camp and said, okay, I'm shutting it down. All the books are out. All the movies are out. And I was like, we're shutting it down. I told the parents, I was like, hey, I want to sell off all the stuff. I was like, if there's any stuff that you want, I'm going to sell it all off. Not one parent was like, cool, I'm going to come. They were all like, listen, we have younger kids that we're reading those books to, and they're excited to be able to go to camp in a couple of years. Do not stop. And so it's still going today, 10, 15 years later. I don't know how long. Was it 10 years? And so the kids
are going to be even more.
Yeah, they're still getting read to or reading these books, the young ones. And they're going, I didn't think about that. But yeah, now with the series.
It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy. So the next one is Waterfront. This is a lot of camps will do a specialty for sailing and waterfront of swim lessons and pool activities. So you can definitely do just water activities. And that's a good specialty camp if you have the facilities for that.
Okay. Next on my list is a robotics camp. And these are, in fact, when I'm going to camp conferences and stuff, I'm seeing these in the vendor halls too. And in fact, I was at a place, we were at a college trying to recruit staff, and there was a camp there that was strictly just a robotics camp. That's all they did all summer. And it was really, I was over at their table because I was looking at all the fun robots. Thought it was neat. But this is getting huge. And so there's a lot of different vendors out there that provide stuff for this, creating robots, making robots. And I wish I would have. Oh, yeah, there. I just looked at my thing. PIT Esco is one of the big vendors that sells a lot of stuff for robotic camp and things like that, and learning how to build robots that do cool stuff.
Do they do any of the BattleBot stuff? Because that's cool.
Oh, yeah. That's not quite to that extent, but yeah, there is a lot of, you can buy the little BattleBot things, or you can do like I did and just get some little
RC cars,
some cardboard and skewers and balloons, and they can make their own with duct tape and then take them out after each other.
Have you tried that at camp yet, at your new camp
yet? We have not here. We have the perfect Gaga ball pit for it. And we haven't done it yet. So it's one of some things we haven't done yet. There's a lot of things on the list.
Those are fun. All right. My next one is STEM, right? So if you specialize in one part of those, so if it's animal lovers, you can take care of animals like Chris was saying, but they could be dogs and it's an animal, all animals for a week, or science. Mad science or whatever science it is. Engineering, Chris already talked about kind of tech coding and that type of stuff, but you can take one part of STEM and make a camp out of it. So definitely check that out.
Something else we were going to, there was a lot I had planned for my last camp that never happened because we moved here to Indiana, but we were looking at one of our board members does Lego camp, and she actually does a Lego, almost like a daycare kind of thing. Not really daycare, like it's for older kids. So Lego stuff that she would do at her house that all these young preteens, junior hires would come
at her
and do.
House?
At her house. Like it was a huge thing. Her kids were very much into it. And so they would bring all their friends over and it became a thing. They got into Lego groups. There's like groups out there you could join.
It's huge. Lego.
And so she was always, we talked about and looked at what it would look like to do a Lego camp or at least a specialty camp and tying that in. And because that's a lot. You get some robotics in there as well. But just in our tiny little town back there. I couldn't believe how many people she had doing Lego stuff.
Yeah, it's no joke. And the Lego is expensive.
Yes.
It's expensive.
So expensive.
Oh, wow.
Can't afford it.
My next one is fine arts. So talking theater, music, Chris already talked about dance, even puppetry. You can do a whole week on theater. Obviously, there's a lot of theater drama camps out there. Music, Chris already covered that as well. And puppetry, I guess I was probably in third grade when I went to day camp and they had a little puppetry activity and taught you how to do puppets. And I was like so enamored. I was, this is so cool. Yeah, let me try. I could have for a week just done the whole puppet thing, come up with a skit, come up, how do you walk the puppet, how to talk right, and then put on a show. I thought it was so cool. And then I wanted to go play kickball. You can add in things as well. But anything, yeah, fine arts, there's a whole mess of things you can do as far as specialty camp. And you're going to get very, again, very specific kids for these. And that's what you want. You want to engage those kids that aren't going to go to your typical camp. Your traditional camp.
Next on my list would be like an advertising camp or commercial creation camp. And so I was looking, there's a camp in California I was looking at that had some different specialty camps, and this is one they offer, and they teach how to, almost like marketing camp, I guess is what would be a better name for it, but how to market products, how to take videos and do different backgrounds. There is a lady I follow on TikTok that she will take just random things, like just something in her house, and she will make this whole ad campaign around it. And she has a ton of followers now. And just like how she shows how she makes it look like water is splashing on it, or how she'll do like special effects to make the marketing. It was
that's cool.
Like I could sit here and watch all of these TikToks all day. Now she's got like actual companies reaching out to her and having her work for them and make real commercials and things like that.
Wow. So, that's an interesting one. Cool.
Something a little different.
All right, so that is 10 each. We have 10 more each. Let's go ahead and we're going to do a part two. Otherwise, this is going to be so long. We'll do a part two if you're listening and are like, yeah, give me more ideas, or you just want to hear a couple knuckleheads talk about camp. And we'll have it in the same week. They both should be uploaded right now. So check it out.
This is very TikTok. We ran out of time. Come back for part two and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Exactly.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, until soon next, you can quickly just close out this episode, open up the next one. But from around the campfire, this is Kurt and Chris. Thanks for listening.
See ya.